Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 21. Now, where we pick this up is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he's appeared to the disciples, and he's appeared specifically to Peter. But during this lag time, when the disciples were not with Jesus Christ after his resurrection, Simon Peter decides to go fishing at the beginning of John chapter 21. And not only did he decide to go fishing, but he took six other people with him of the disciples, and he decided that he was going to go fishing. So Peter, who was oftentimes the ringleader of the apostles, goes and takes six other apostles, and they go fishing, but they caught nothing, even though they fished the entire night. And then Jesus, being on the shore, them not recognizing it was Jesus, calls to him and says, "Children, do you have any meat?" And they said, "No." And he tells them to cast their net on the right side of the ship. And then there was so much in the net that they couldn't even draw it up. Then the apostles realized that this was Jesus Christ and end up making their way to the shore. And now let's pick this up here in John chapter 21 and in verse 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep." Now, what I really want us to focus on these verses is in the distinctions between the words for love that are used in what Jesus is saying to Peter and then what Peter is responding back to Jesus. Now, this might be a little bit technical, so just stay with me. There are essentially three primary words that are translated as love in the New Testament. The first being eros, which describes the type of love that a husband has for a wife. Phileo being a brotherly love, a type of general affection that you would have for someone. We have many admonitions in the New Testament to let brotherly love continue. We need to have a affection and a brotherly love toward all mankind, and then a special brotherly love and hopefully an agape love toward those that are members of the household of faith. That's where phileo being the basis for the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love as we know it here in America. The basis of that is this word phileo, which again means brotherly love. But then you have the depiction of love that is the primary application for the children of God in the New Testament is agape love. Agape love, and those are all Greek words, by the way, eros, phileo, and agape. That's the transliterations of the Greek words, if you will. So agape is referring not to just a affection that you have toward people you come in contact with, a brotherly love, but a self-sacrificial love. I want you to notice this definition of love or agape love. It's from my Nelson Study Bible, and it's really the best definition of love that I've come across over the years. So agape love is the self-sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of another without the thought of return. The self-sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of another without the thought of return. So let's break that down. First of all, self-sacrificing. If there's not a sacrifice, there's no agape love. Willing. It's voluntary. It's not obligatory. You're not being forced to do something. It's willing. The willing sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of another. So you're sacrificing yourself so someone else will be benefited without the thought of return. This is not a business transaction. You're not doing it to make someone owe you one. You are doing it for nothing more than agape love's sake, because you have an affection and a love for that person. And certainly that agape love, the willing, self-sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of another without the thought of return, is principally displayed in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for his people. As we have previously considered, it was when we didn't love God that God loved us. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and he gave his only begotten son to die die for our sins. He is the principal example of agape love, but then from Galatians 5 and 22, that is a fruit of the Spirit. That agape love is a fruit of the Spirit that is placed in the heart of the child of God at the new birth. And this word agape love in the New Testament is often distinguished from these other types of love by it being translated in your King James Bible as charity. But there's many times that it's used that it's not directly translated as charity. So the reason why that is important is because there is a distinguishing of the words that Jesus and Peter are both using for love in this interaction. And it makes a very important point for this dialogue between Jesus and Peter. All right, so let's not forget what had just happened. Jesus Christ had literally displayed to the highest degree possible, the most that this world had ever seen, display of agape, self-sacrificial love as he died for the sins of his people on the cross. And now Peter had went and he had seen him. He had seen the resurrected Christ who had just died for his sins and all the sins of his elect people throughout the history of the world. But in response to that, Peter gets discouraged and he goes fishing. He goes back to his former lifestyle. He goes back to his former profession. And Jesus has to call him out from the shore to the boat because he's now doing something that has been superseded by his calling. When he was originally called, he told Peter, "I'm going to make you a fisher of men." He was not a fisher of fishes anymore. He was a fisher of men. He had a new calling. He had a new responsibility, and he was neglecting that responsibility. So when things got tough, even though he had seen the resurrected Christ who had just died for his sins, when things got tough, he said, "Well, I guess I'll just go back to what I was doing before. I guess I'll just go back to fishing." All right, now let's back up for just a minute before Jesus' death. As Jesus has been telling his disciples for multiple times that he's going to die, he's going to be slain. Matthew chapter 26, beginning in verse 31, is one of those times. "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For as it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." But then Peter pipes up, Matthew 26 and 33. "Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." So Peter has enough confidence and boldness in his commitment. At this time, his agape, self-sacrificial willingness to follow Christ, even unto death, he said, "Though all men will be offended, I will never leave you." And Jesus said, "Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times." And he says, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Now notice, likewise said all the apostles. All of his disciples said the same thing. They were willing. They attested that they were willing to go to the death to Christ. And then, of course, we know the story. Just a couple hours later, as Jesus is being tried, Peter goes and is warming his hands by the fires of the wicked. And in that setting, he denies Christ three times, the last time cursing and swearing and saying, "I do not know the man." And then, of course, Christ looks back at him right as he said those words, and the cock crew, and Peter went out and wept bitter, bitter tears. So I want you to see that Peter is a man, I believe, who was scarred. He was scarred by his former commitment, but yet when the times got tough, he failed. He failed to stand up for Christ, the name of Christ, and profess him before men. Instead, he denied him. But let's not forget that he originally attested that, "I am willing to go to the death, Christ. I am willing to sacrifice it all. I am willing to willingly sacrifice myself for the benefit of another without the thought of return. I am willing to display agape love towards you, Christ, and the rest of these cats, they may let you down. They may not be willing to go to the death, but I am willing to go to the death for you, Christ, and I will never forsake you." But then Peter came face to face with the frailty of his nature, and he did deny Christ. And he went out and he wept bitterly because of that. And then, praise God, God's so good that after he was resurrected, Jesus Christ came and personally revealed himself to Peter after his resurrection. He did it with all the rest of the apostles, but he came specifically to Peter. And then you would think, all right, Peter's totally rock solid now. He is on track and he will never detract now after he made that mistake. After he's seen the resurrected Christ, he will never falter from that mistake that he made previously. Well, a couple days later, after Jesus told him to wait for him, he gets a little bit antsy, gets a little bit depressed, and what does he do? He goes right back fishing, and that's when Jesus calls him out. So Jesus asked him in John 21 and in verse 15, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now that word love, this is important, that word love that Jesus used is agape love. And he's saying, do you agape self-sacrificially love me more than these? Now, he could have been pointing to the fishes. There's a lot of different applications of this that people have applied over the years, and many of them, I'm certain, have a very valid point. But I want to notice a very specific aspect of what I think Jesus is emphasizing here in this question. He says, do you love me more than these? And yes, certainly he's asking him, do you love me more than your profession? Do you love me more than your fishes? But then also, take into account, this is the same group of 12 apostles that Peter had stood up and say, yeah, all the rest of these guys, they might forsake you, but I never will. I am willing to go to the death for you, Christ. And these guys may let you down, but I never will. Because what he was saying by that statement, I'm willing to go to the death, even the rest of these aren't. He's saying, I love you. I agape self-sacrificial till death love you more than the rest of these guys. Because they might let you down, but I'm not going to, Christ. But then, let's not forget, Peter was scarred because he made that commitment, but then he failed the Lord when the going got tough. So Jesus asked him, do you agape love me more than these? Now this is by comparison, okay? He's saying, do you think that you still agape love me more than these? And then Peter says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Now understand, all three questions and rebuttals by Peter and Jesus all are translated in our King James Bible as the word love. But what we have to distinguish here to get the full effect of this is the agape and the phileo. So Jesus is asking him, do you agape self-sacrificially love me like you had previously attested that you did, that you were willing to go to the death? Do you still love me like that? And do you love me more than the rest of these guys like you previously said you did? But what does Peter say? He says, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee, but he doesn't say agape love. He says phileo love. He says, yes, Lord, you know I love you like a brother. Lord, you know I have a brotherly affection and care and consideration for you. Peter was not willing to make an agape self-sacrificial commitment to Christ the way he previously did. Christ asked him, do you agape love me? Are you willing to go to death like you said that you were used to? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you like a brother. With the answer being implied, but I'm not willing to go to death for you. And then Jesus tells him, feed my lambs. And there's also some really great lessons here in feed my lambs, feed my sheep, that we don't have time to delve into. But he's telling Simon, if you really love me, go fulfill your calling. You're going out fishing. That's not your job anymore. You're a fisher of men. You need to go feed my lambs. Care for the small, infant, immature people in the congregation, but care for the mature sheep too. Okay, so now Jesus asked him in verse 16. He said, unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now he asked him, do you agape love me? And then Peter responds, he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. So Jesus first asked him, do you agape love me more than the rest of these guys like you said you used to? And he said, Lord, you know I love you like a brother. But Jesus now asked him, not as a point of comparison, but just a baseline answer, not do you love me more than them, do you agape love me? Let's get to the heart of the matter, Simon. Do you agape love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I phileo love you. Lord, you know I love you like a brother. You see, Peter's still unwilling to commit to agape, self-sacrificial, to the death love. And then the third time, let's not miss, the first two times, Jesus says, do you agape love me? Do you agape love me? But then he drops it down to Peter's level. And he says, Simon, son of Jonas, do you phileo love me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. So Jesus first asked him, look, are you willing to sacrifice to the death for me? Do you agape love me? And Peter wasn't willing to do that. But then he drops it down to his level and says, Peter, do you even really phileo love me? Do you even love me like a brother? This is the Son of God who had just died for his sins and was resurrected from the grave. And he says, do you even love me like a brother? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you like a brother. Again, unwilling to commit to agape love. And then he tells him again, feed my sheep. In other words, you get out of that boat and you get to preaching the gospel the way I called you and commanded you to. You feed my lambs, you feed my sheep, you feed my sheep. But notice what Jesus tells him after Peter is still nursing the wounds and the effects of him making a prior commitment to agape, self-sacrificial, to the death love and failing in that commitment. He's unwilling to attribute his love to anything more than a brotherly affection. Lord, I'm not willing to go to the death for you. It's what he's just told the Lord three times. But then Jesus tells him in verse 18, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. He said, "Peter, I know that you're hurting right now. I know that you still haven't forgiven yourself. I know you still haven't recovered from your failure to stand up when your name was called to display your agape love toward me." He said, "But Peter, the time's coming that you will love me even to death. You will give your life for me." And notice he said at the beginning of verse 19, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Peter's death, his agape, self-sacrificial death, for the cause of Christ, being a martyr for the church and for the cause of Christ, was glorifying to the Lord. And history tells us that Peter was eventually crucified in Rome. And many accounts say that he was crucified upside down because he viewed himself as unworthy to be crucified in the same manner as his Savior. So Peter is unwilling to make any more than a brotherly affection commitment to Christ, who had just died for his sins, displaying again the greatest display of agape love this world has ever seen. But yet Peter was unwilling to make a commitment. But he says, "Peter, the time's going to come when you are going to display that agape, self-sacrificial love, even unto death." Now let's go to 2 Peter, and don't miss the significance of this epistle that Peter writes, because he knows that what Jesus had prophesied in John 21 is about to occur. 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 13, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." He told him about it years before it would come, and now the Lord had manifested to him that that day was coming. And then in verse 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor that I may be after my decease to have these things always in remembrance." Peter writes this epistle with the understanding that he's about to put off this tabernacle, that he's about to die. And I want you to notice what Peter tells these elect children of God just a couple verses before that. We're going to have to just jump in here in the middle in verse 5. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." And don't you know that word charity is agape love? This is a man who had been told by Christ that you will display agape, self-sacrificial love for me, and you will glorify God by doing that. And now Simon Peter is at the end of his life, and he knows that that time is coming. And then what does he tell all the rest of these elect children of God scattered throughout all these lands that he's writing to? He essentially tells them that the pinnacle level of your maturity in Christ, you start out with faith, you need to add to that as building blocks. Virtue. You need to add knowledge, add temperance, add patience, add godliness, add brotherly kindness. Okay? He said, now you need to get to the level where you have that phileo love for everybody. All right? You have a phileo love for the world in general. You have a phileo love for your brothers and sisters in Christ. But then once you've got to that level, once you've got to that phileo level, he says, now you need to add to that what? Agape love. He said, you don't need to stay at phileo love. The pinnacle example of discipleship for the child of God is not having a brotherly affection for people, but agape, self-sacrificial love for our neighbors, for our kindred in Christ, from the people we interact with. Having a willing, sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of another without the thought of return. And Peter had to learn this lesson the hard way. He thought that he knew what that meant. You see, he thought that he knew what agape, self-sacrificial love. And all he had was a bunch of zeal. You know, when the time came in the garden, Peter had a sword. He thought the way that he displayed agape love was me hacking off the ear of this high priest servant. You know, he was filled up with zeal, but he wasn't filled up with the right spirit of agape love. But now, as an old man who's about to die, he says, look, you need to get to the level of brotherly kindness. You need to get to the level of phileo love toward everybody you come in contact with. But then once you get to that level, you need to step it up. You need to step it up to agape, self-sacrificial love for Christ, and have that agape, self-sacrificial love displayed to others as we're commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves. So the question we want to ask you this morning as we conclude the program is the same question that Christ asked Peter. And I'll just ask it to myself, and you ask it to yourself along with me. David, do you agape love Christ? And I hope I'm willing to commit to something more than brotherly kindness. I hope I'm willing to commit to just a brotherly affection. David, do you agape love me? I hope that I can say, Lord, I'm willing to go with you even unto the death. I am willing to display agape, self-sacrificial love in my life in whatever manner that takes. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a minister in Germany in World War II, wrote an amazing book, The Cost of Discipleship, and I would encourage you to read that entire book, but one quote out of there that's become very well known that I believe essentially what Peter had to learn the hard way through the school of hard knocks and his many mistakes. But Bonhoeffer said, when God calls a man, he bids him come and die. Discipleship is about agape, self-sacrificial love for the cause of Christ and the benefit of other people. And I want to ask you this morning, and be honest with yourself, do you agape love Christ? Don't settle for only loving Christ like a brother. You need to love Christ and others in the agape, self-sacrificial love that Christ displayed for us when he came into this world and died for our sins, wretched, no good sinners, but he sacrificially, agape, gave himself for us. And because of that, we have a hope of eternal life. And the act of Jesus Christ, agape love, should be enough to compel us to agape love him and everybody else in our life because of the amazing, incomprehensible love that God has shown toward us. Thank you for being with us on the program today, and we pray the love of God will be shed abroad in your heart in a rich and manifold way today.